Welcome to the Sober Shaman Podcast, where we explore ways to make the spiritual practical and apply these medicines to the recovery from addiction and trauma. I've been here 1,000 times before. We've been here 1,000 times before. What, you don't believe me? Think for a minute. Remember when? And fill in that blank. For anyone who has worked with somebody with an addiction, is a loved one with someone with an addiction, is someone who is a medical or mental health professional that works with people with addictions. We recognize this. We recognize this. I've been here 1,000 times before. We've been here 1,000 times before. Especially if you've been working with a person for a while. And again, there's loved ones involved, people who care. Yes. And one of the things about this is addiction is a cycle. Principle number 2 from the Alchemist Recovery Program. Addiction is a cycle. Now, again, we all get this. It's kind of common knowledge, but what does that mean from my point of view, the way that we work it in the program? It's good news and it's bad news. The good news is that I've been here 1,000 times before because I know where I am in the cycle. I recognize this. Don't you recognize this? We've been here 1,000 times before because what just happened 1,000 times. And guess what? I'm not a guru with a crystal ball. I just have this map of the cycle and I know what's coming. You know why? Because it's boring. It's predictable. It's an addiction. It's a cycle. One phase follows the next. There's no mighty revelations here. It's predictable. It's a cycle. We've been here 1,000 times before. And in that moment of speaking to somebody who is on the other side of it, someone who's stuck in the cycle, someone who's been there 1,000 times before, but then where's the off ramp? It's frustrating in that we can give answers. And as anybody who has an addiction, has worked with somebody with an addiction, loves somebody with an addiction. All right, here's the next obvious step. And then the person doesn't do it. And what happens? Exactly what we knew what was going to happen. And around we go. There is nothing original here. It's boring. It is predictable. And generally speaking, at this particular moment of interrupting the cycle, when we say to that person who's stuck in it, hey, you know what? Doesn't this look familiar? Doesn't this feel familiar? Doesn't this have a list of things that you've done before? There's the thoughts, the mental, the feelings, the emotional, and the physical, the actions and the behavior. These are all predictable things. Hey, what do you think? Does this feel familiar? Have you done these things before? Yeah. Okay, then. In this window of opportunity, we get to make a bridge from one side of the desk to the other side of the desk, the Zoom screen to the other Zoom screen. One couch to the chair, whatever, what we get to make a bridge from helper to the one who needs help, the one who may be asking for help, the one who may be longing for help. And there's this window that opens this magical moment of what can be done. What can I do? How do I get off of this cycle? How do I get off this merry-go-round? Where's the off-ramp? Well, here's the truth. And when offering that truth, there's a part of the addict who knows that it is truth. And there's a part of the addict that wants that truth. And then there's the addiction part of the addict. That says there's gotta be a easier way. There's gotta be something different. There's gotta be a different truth. I don't like that truth. No, we all don't like that truth. In that magical moment, how do we keep that window of opportunity pried open and not slammed in our face by that part of the person who is under the spell of addiction? We've been here 1,000 times before. How do we get the person to choose to be in that place of seeing the addiction, seeing truth, choosing truth with us against it? I've been here 1,000 times before. Do you believe me? Do you trust me? I've seen this. I know this. I know the off-ramp. It's right here. One of my favorite movies of all time. It's in the top 10 there. And it's definitely number one to talk about this subject is called Revolver. I've recommended it to many of my clients. Pretty much all of them at one time or another when we get to this part. And why I love it, it's a Guy Ritchie guys kind of movie. It's got that English Jason Statham as the star, but it's a little different role for Jason. It's not just all shoot 'em revenge kind of thing. He plays a tough guy, but he also plays a wonderful example of a hero's journey that is not about revenge. As a matter of fact, that's the twist, is that he chooses not to revenge in the end. Why? Because the movie is about confronting the ego. It's confronting about one's ego. And there's all different kinds of characters in this movie. And there, if you get the, I was going to say the Blu-ray edition, I don't know what they have now. If you get the commentary at the end, and you might even be able to Google it and YouTube it and just get the commentary. If you do, I suggest you watch the movie first. But the commentary is perfect because there's all of these smart people who are addressing this age-old problem. Who am I? And the I that believes the lie, and what do we call that? psychology calls it ego. That's not my lane. It's a term that we use in the common field, the common discourse. We throw around that term, but it has very specific meanings and purposes in the field of psychology. So, you know, I use it loosely. There are some people who are at the end of that movie, and I think Deepak Chopra is one of them. And he mentions and points out that in some societies, before we had this idea of the ego, this was the role given to the devil, which is very interesting. Because from the Judeo-Christian side of things, that idea of the devil, think about the things that we associate with the devil. It's cunning. It's always lying. There is nothing slipperier than the devil. And I propose that in addiction treatment, there is nothing slipperier than the identity we've attached ourselves to in this form of the I am statement, in some kind of less than, I am weak, I am stupid, I am dirty, fill in the blank. There's nothing slipperier than that. And it's a lie. The only reason why that lie is true, because we prove it to be true through the cycle of addiction. I'm a loser. If that's my belief, talk about this all the time, go around the cycle. From that belief underneath, from the subconscious, or let's just say it's a subconscious belief of the trauma, the abuse, the heartbreak and loss, the toll that has happened in my life, I got the loser thing, right? Well, the next phase is about planning. I'm going to plan to make myself feel better. As an addict, how do you think that goes? I got to plan. Then we move into the acquisition phase, the fire phase. Huh? We burn with the passion of acquisition. Nothing stands in our way. And then we move to the using phase in the earth part of the cycle. We receive our nourishment and that magic moment of relief from our drug of choice. And then, morning after, the metal phase, consequences, crap, showing up at work, no pants, no shower, no sleep, no money, no wallet. The heck happened? Who's the person in the back of my car sleeping in the parking lot? What did I just do? I just proved to everyone plain to see I am a loser. It's now in reality. Before, when it started, it was just a belief. But now I've proven that belief to be true. Lesson number 7, the lesson of the week. Belief, where the wound is. We go over all that in detail. Check that out in the lesson of the week if you haven't already. But here we are, this idea of I am. This idea of that movie Revolver, the ego, the devil. The only way to get better is to play against a smarter opponent. It's one of the themes of the movie. And they have this idea of chess going on in the background. And these people playing chess are trying to teach our hero, Jake. Wake up, Jake. Very Matrix-esque. Using the game of chess, getting smarter, playing, sharpening your skills against the ego. The greatest trick the devil ever played was making you believe it doesn't exist. That's one of those phrases from our society here in the West, right? Even though I'm living here in the East, welcome from Thailand. The greatest trick the devil ever played was making you believe it doesn't exist. That is the ego. Again, using that term loosely, this idea of I, this investment into I, this adhesion, this addiction to the I and the story of who I believe I am. No, that's not who I am. I'm something bigger. And until we can begin to get that level of discernment and dissociate from the ego, from this aspect of listening to the devil, from this part of us that just participates over and over in the cycle of addiction, I've been here 1,000 times before. It happens because we believe it. We believe that I am that. And when confronted, the ego will do anything to preserve itself because it knows with truth it and part of it will die. It will no longer be needed. And, you know, I'm trashing on this part of it and really making it polar in that it is bad. It served a purpose. It came about because of trauma, abuse, heartbreak, and loss. It came about as a protective mechanism because obviously you couldn't take care of your heart because kaboom, the incident or incidences happened to change you forever. Heartbreak, loss, abuse, trauma. This world cannot be trusted. And therefore, we're one way before, another way after. And now, this ego, this pericardium, as we talk about in Chinese medicine, that's my lane, this heart protector, pops up with all of these very effective roles to protect the heart, to protect the real I am. The problem is we play these roles, we wear these masks for so long and put so much energy into them, we believe that they are me. We believe I am this. No. And it's through the truth, through the dissolution of that lie, it's only through gaining a different perspective of separating ourselves from that singular, cyclical view. When I say I've been here 1,000 times before, I say it as a person who is on both sides of that statement. I've participated in the cycle. I'm still participating in the cycle. Not in the ways of substances and actions that I did previously. Thank goodness. But it still goes round. It's layers to these things. So when I say I've been here 1,000 times before, yeah, back in the old days of doing the same old things and getting the same old results and expecting different things, it was insanity, round and around we go. Well, now I'm on the other side of the table and I get to say, hey, here's what's coming next. Doesn't this feel familiar? Isn't there a list of things that you've just done that are familiar? Isn't the way of thinking and this particular belief familiar? Of course it is, because it's going to deliver the same exact next steps, because addiction is a cycle, and around it goes. And when we take that opportunity, and when that window of possibility opens, We have to shove a crowbar in there and do our best to keep it open. What's the next right thing? Just fill in that list. Keep the truth rolling along. Use your tools, use your support. If maintaining an open window, if obtaining a different perspective seems difficult and or impossible, that's why we do the journey. That's why we take the shamanic drum journey. Some people who are stuck use, and may I say, believe they need, and maybe they do need, not for me to judge, stronger interventions, whether that's plant medicines and or vision quests and or maybe fasting, maybe all kinds of things. Fantastic. Shift the perspective. In the Alchemist Recovery Program, we use the medicine drum journey. We have one every single week. And this week, we go to the belief. We go to the belief that has us stuck to that cycle to go around and around and around, because addiction is a spell, and the only reason why it works is because we believe it. We believe the lie. I am weak. I'm dirty. I'm not enough. Right here, right now, I need something. I need something because I have too little. I need something because I've got too much and I gotta relieve that. It is just a belief. And again, when we can gain that perspective, that it isn't it, it is not I, the whole thing falls apart. That's the window of truth that we gotta keep open. And that ego, that devil, that part of us that is stuck to the identity, that is cemented into the cycle of addiction, knows that when the light of truth gets in, it's going to die. So what do things do that know they're going to die or are faced with dying? And you might be hearing dogs that sound like they're dying in the background. We have lots of roaming dogs here in Thailand. Sorry, maybe you heard it, maybe you didn't. So what does something do when it knows it's going to die, when it's in those death throes? It lashes out and does everything it possibly can to not die and drag anybody. It's drowning, right? The first thing you do to a drowning person is you just don't swim up to them and say, hey, can I help you? Because they're going to drag you down with them. Well, that's what it wants to do. It's trying to convince you that you're going to die, which is why all those behaviors of despite making perfect logical sense. Okay, Randy. Okay, whoever it is giving me, I know what the next steps are. That makes perfect sense. First thing tomorrow, that's what I'm going to do. Talk to you tomorrow night. Did you do it? No, why not? Because this ran smack dab into death. Ego death, identity death, addiction death. And that's what has to happen. And it is scary. And we all have our ways of dealing with death. We all have our ways of dealing with fear. And we all need courage to go through these things, to look at these things, to confront these things and to hold hands with truth and whoever is supporting us in that truth. And think about how much energy, time, money, whatever your fulcrum and leverage of choice is that you've, it's painful when you didn't choose truth, when you chose the easier way, when you did not take the off-ramp when it was offered. Because if you didn't and you don't, somebody's going to say to you in one form or another, I've been here 1,000 times before. Hey, you know what? We've been here 1,000 times before. What do you say? Ready to end this thing? Thanks for listening to this episode of the Sober Shaman Podcast. Please hit the little like button, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. It's appreciated. Contact me at spirit@randalllyons.com. You can email me. The website is randalllyons.com, RANDALLYONS, or thesobershaman.com. Subscribe to the newsletter. Stay in contact. Send me any questions you have. Till next time. Blessings. Thanks for listening to the Sober Shaman Podcast, where we explore ways to make the spiritual practical. Please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Send me any questions or comments you have. Check out the website, randalllyons.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, blessings.